Hi, so my name is Jeff, and this is SMS 101, mobile apps for all phones, and I'm with...
I'm Puneet, and we're both TFs for the course, so we're going to talk about creating applications that any phone can use, that whether you're, you've got a smartphone, whether you've got a standard free phone, or you know whether you're with phones that maybe in the developing world don't really have access to a lot of the sort of more multimedia applications that you could develop for the iPhone.
So this XKCD comic, I think, sums up the sentiment. Check out my new cell phone. It's really cool. It does all these things, but maybe you can't call people with it. So a lot of people around the world still actually have old Nokia black and white phones. There's a huge market for applications that can interact with these phones. And I think what we're going to first do is show you a few ways that you can, or a few ideas that are currently out there about how to interact with through SMS with the old Nokia brick phones. So there's a company called, or a piece of software called Frontline SMS. And what Frontline does is it provides a piece of computer software that allows doctors and medics across the world to actually send SMS messages to people in small villages in Africa who maybe only have one cell phone every five people. But what that allows is one doctor to actually serve several patients at once. So a patient can chime in and a patient can say, I have a pain in my stomach, and the doctor can actually can respond over SMS to this patient long distance. So we're going to show a quick video of Frontline SMS.
The benefit of a lot of these programs, just the reason why using text over voice often, is because you have the ability to basically, you know, text is often cheaper in developing countries or in, you know, other nations, and so that makes the application just that much more accessible to larger populations.
Absolutely. So let's take a look at this video.
My work involves helping mostly grassroots nonprofit organizations in developing countries figure out how to use mobile technology in their work. In 2002, I was actually running a primate sanctuary in Nigeria, and I was due to stay there for another year or so. I broke my leg, which was a huge, actually a very, very good career move, as it turned out, because I actually ended up back home in the Channel Islands where I was born. I was asked to try and find out how the national parks could send messages to get the communities around the park really involved in the conservation effort. Unfortunately, I couldn't find anything that did that didn't require the internet. A few months later, I was actually waiting to watch Match of the Day with a bottle of beer, and I just suddenly thought, how about plugging a cell phone into a computer with a cable? You can then send them all a message. They can then respond, and you can start to engage with them in a two-way, almost immediate fashion. So when I wrote Frontline SMS, I didn't really have any particular use in mind. It was really just a general communication platform to allow nonprofits to spread whatever message they wanted to spread. But other uses have really blossomed. It's running rural healthcare networks in places like Malawi. It's running agriculture projects in places like El Salvador and Cambodia. It really can do almost anything. These kind of technologies are hugely powerful because they can visualize very, very quickly a problem. For us, we get football scores, we order pizza, we text our friends and organize a Friday night. But in countries such as Zimbabwe, it can be a lifesaver for people.
So as you can see, there's definitely huge potential for SMS for health around the world. Another way mobile applications have made a big impact is through mobile banking. In countries like Kenya, you have a system called M-Pesa, which actually allows people around the country to do banking through SMS. So you can text in, I want to withdraw $100 from my account, or I want to send $100 to someone else's account, and there's mobile M-Pesa stations around the country where you can then input a PIN code that they send you into the station, and the money would be returned. And what this does, it dramatically reduces costs. It helps keep people safe. A lot of people, when they're going to a bank or withdrawing money from a bank, end up getting robbed along the way, or worse. So this is a huge thing for Kenyans, and has actually increased GDP over the last 10 years.
this is actually really connects if you're interested in microcredit and whatnot. There's a lot of interesting connections here where they're using this as for micro savings and other types of financing options for underserved communities right now. And you know, this is one area and one method of delivering those services.
Maurina Kot werkt af en toe bij een kapper in dit dorp. En ze kan daar met haar gezin nauwelijks van rondkomen. Ze krijgt daarom regelmatig wat toegestopt van de oudste dochter die in de stad werkt. En die doet dat de laatste tijd via haar telefoon. En ze moest daarvoor nog niet eens zo lang geleden naar een bank.
Now I can just do it comfortably from the comfort of my desk and still send her money.
Het systeem heet M-Pesa, Keniaans voor mobiel geld. Het ophalen en ook sturen van geld kan via dit soort kantoortjes. Maureen heeft bericht dat er weer geld is met een pincode. Ze gaat het bedrag uiteraard direct ophalen. En dat kan sinds kort zelfs bij pinautomaten als deze. In de rij staan bij de drukke kantoortjes hoeft niet meer. En een pasje heb je ook al niet nodig. Je telefoonnummer en de toegestuurde pin zijn genoeg.
When you're using M-Pesa Point, getting your M-Pesa money, it's easy.
Pinnen zonder pas? Dat vind je bijna nergens ter wereld. En volgens de exploitant van de automaat is het veilig, omdat de pin maar 2 uur geldig is.
And that means that the risks around PIN are greatly diminished.
Er gaat per dag zo'n €150.000 in de weer tussen de telefoons. De directeur van het telecombedrijf dat M-Pesa introduceerde is niet verbaasd.
We have a lot of money moving around the country, which previously was done in a very insecure manner and a very difficult manner. And I think it just filled a need that was just waiting to be filled.
Geld sturen via M-Pesa is stukken goedkoper dan via de banken, die soms wel 15% commissie vragen. Sommige van hen werken daarom noodgedwongen samen met M-Pesa.
Mobile banking is here to stay. You either embrace it, or you're going to be left behind.
Voor Maureen zal het allemaal wars wezen. Zij doet gewoon boodschappen met haar M-Pesa. Net als de andere 5 miljoen gebruikers die het telecombedrijf eind dit jaar verwacht te hebben.
So obviously M-Pesa has left a big impact in mobile banking in Africa. But another organization that's leaving a huge impact is actually the U.S. State Department. Recently, Alec Ross, who's the Secretary's Chief Advisor on Innovation and Technology, stopped in at Harvard to give us a talk about what the State Department's been up to. And a few of the things that he talked about included creating a SMS application that helps soldiers get paid in the Democratic Republic of Congo to keep the soldiers from getting unruly and causing civil strife in Congo. Another thing that I think the U.S. State Department demonstrates really well is how fast SMS applications can be developed. So if you have an idea, you can pretty much sit down in front of a computer, type some code out, and get it done very quickly, as opposed to some other languages that may take more debugging and take more time to develop.
There's basically very little user interface that you have to program in, and you know, with text messages, there's just that 140 characters you have to work with, which can be limiting, but it also just makes it so that there's a lot less overhead in development.
So, for example, the State Department just two hours after the Haitian earthquake, they created the Text Haiti campaign, which raised $40 million in a month, and they made this application literally just 2 hours after the earthquake happened. Another thing that the State Department has worked on is voter fraud monitoring in Sudan, and there's another quick video that we're going to watch about that.
If there are 4.6 billion mobile handsets on the planet, how can they be used to do more than make phone calls? As people go to voting sites throughout Sudan, if there are examples of the kind of intimidation or manipulation that people have been predicting, that they can report. So if you go to SudanMonitor.com right now, you can actually see in real time the mapping of the complaints. This is a case where technology can play a powerful role to increase transparency and hopefully accountability.
So what is SMS? So SMS stands for short message service. They're limited to 160 characters, and there's a few benefits. So a couple benefits we have here is obviously there's less data use than making phone calls. SMS, the reason why SMS was invented was largely because cell phone providers were looking at ways people could communicate without spending as much data on phone calls, because for a phone call, obviously you're transferring real-time voice across lots of different routers and across a huge network. And with SMS, it's a lot less work. And you can also send lots of messages to lots of people at once. So one person can send a message to thousands of people, or 1,000 people can send a message to one source very quickly. One great example of this is a lot of rock concerts now will have some plea to send a message, say, to the one.org for African AIDS relief. So you may have a like U2 at a concert may say, send a text message to this number saying you support the mission of one.org, and you have 70,000 people all at once sending a text message. And you can do that much less money and much faster than you could with a phone call.
And you can also respond to those text messages automatically. You know, there's no need for having a call center or anything like that. You can basically automate that based with kind of what the techniques we're going to show you in just a minute.
So the way, the nitty-gritty about how SMS works is through a method called store and forward. So there's a centralized SMS control center, which is sort of out in the cloud, and you have the cell phone towers, which are represented by the MSC. So your cell phone will send a message to the cell phone tower, and the cell phone tower will then send that message to the centralized SMS control center, which then determines how to route your message. So if it's going to another cell phone, it will send it across to another cell phone. If it's going to return something to you, it will return an error message to you. So in the centralized SMS center, there's something called the validity period, where a message will be held for a certain amount of time. If, for instance, the user, the recipient of the message doesn't have a cell phone turned on. So if I'm sending Puneet a message, and Puneet, his cell phone battery died, the centralized control center will store his message for a certain amount of time. Now, one thing you can do in most phones is you can actually tell your phone how long to wait until receiving an error message that Puneet's phone is off. So if you were to go and open up the engineering portal of your phone, you'd be able to actually change the validity period to, let's say, an hour. So if Puneet is offline for an hour, centralized control center will send me a message back saying, Puneet's offline, or I couldn't send this message, and it would return an error.
So an application, you know, in outside of this country is where, you know, even in this, like, say you go to the Quad and there's like no service, right? Like, this is probably more of an issue in developing nations where there might only be service in the city or, you know, in certain areas. By having that period where you can kind of have the delay, you can still ensure they get the message eventually over a certain period of time. But even if they're not able to get it immediately, and, you know, again, that's useful depending on the application.
And so the centralized SMS control center sends things called message status reports back and forth. So your phone is actually constantly connected to the cell phone network through something called the control channel. So whenever your phone is on, your cell phone is sending short little packets of information back and forth to the centralized SMS control center saying, I'm on, or saying someone's trying to make a phone call. When you try to make a phone call, for example, the reason why your ringtone actually rings is because the centralized control center is sending a short little packet saying, I'm about to set up a phone call. You should turn the ringtone function, the ringtone program on your phone on. So that's how your ringtone rings. And now these messages, so as these packets are sent, there's messages that get sent back and forth between your phone and the control center. So the control center may say there's an error sending this message because the phone number doesn't exist, or because the network, say you're on AT&T and you're sending a SMS message to a Verizon user, the Verizon network might be down, and the centralized control center would return an error through one of these message status reports. So now security is obviously a big issue with SMS. SMS is not the most secure way to send information, which was one of the challenges for M-Pesa when developing mobile banking. They had to think a lot about how to make mobile banking secure over SMS. One problem that we've seen, at least in the United States, is spoofing, which is when you display an incorrect username or phone number. So say when you get a message, let's say from Google, I think Google recently sent out an SMS message to all of its Google Voice subscribers, or one of its programs. And when you got the message, it actually showed up as being from Google. It didn't have a phone number, it said from Google. So that's an example of spoofing. Now, Google wasn't doing anything malicious, but it was sending a message saying that it was not under a phone number, under a name. But in the past, there have actually been instances of spoofing being used for not so nice things, such as with Twitter. Back in 2007, there was an incident where malicious users were able to fake their identity and post under someone else's Twitter account. So if we look at this website called fakemytext.com, this is what people would use to post on other people's Twitter accounts. So you would actually, as long as you knew the phone number that the Twitter account that was registered to a certain Twitter account, you'd be able to log in, create an account on fakemytext, and send a message from that account under someone else's alias. Twitter has since fixed this problem, so no need to try this. Another issue was there was big bills and hassles for customers. So if for some reason somebody was spoofing using your phone number to send lots of messages, it would create a lot of bills for both the cell phone provider and for the customer. That led to the use of extra resources to either stop the spoofing or pay for the cost of sending the messages. This was another one of the websites that was used, smsgang.com. These websites are still up. You can actually use these websites. Apparently, in this case, it was just sort of a honey, I'm pregnant joke. She wasn't actually pregnant or something. you could actually use this to play pranks on your friends if you want, or on me. It's my phone number listed there. Please don't call me. Before we get into TextMarks and Zeep, I just wanted to show you a way that you can use PHP to send text messages to yourself already. So this is something that you're already equipped to do thanks to your work on the most recent PSETs. Say you're writing a PHP script. In this case, we're just calling it test. The constants page is the same constants page that you've seen in your PSETs where it has the MySQL stuff, which we're not actually using. We probably don't need this constant page, to be honest. What we're going to do is we're preparing an email here. So there's a subject and a body variable. In the to variable, we have a string that has a phone number at text.att.net. Every cell phone provider, every cell phone service, has a unique server that you can send emails to that would actually return text messages to a user. So if you put someone's phone number at text.att.net, this would be sending an AT&T customer, in this case, Puneet, a cell phone message, or an SMS message. So in the subject line, we have this is CS50, and in the body, we have Mather rocks, because Mather does rock.
That's right.
And here, all we have is if mail works, this is the command that actually is sending the message, mail. If the mail is actually sent, we have a little flag that says message sent, and if it doesn't work, we say sadness, it unfortunately was not sent. And if we try this out, let me just reload this. So this is my cloud account, test.php. It says message sent. I don't know if you probably can't see that. There it is, message sent. And if Puneet looks at his phone, he would have received a SMS message, which you can't
There's
see.
There's no reception here. Don't get
it. It does say Mather rocks in his phone. So the two APIs that we mentioned on the seminar website that we were going to talk about were TextMarks and Zeep Mobile. Both of these APIs do very similar things. They both allow you to send requests to some PHP, C, JavaScript that will return something to the phones to your users. But there's some key differences between the two, and we are going to recommend that you use one of them, TextMarks. So TextMarks, you are able to use TextMarks without having subscribers, which is a really important piece of functionality. With Zeep, you require your users to subscribe to the account. So with TextMarks, you can create a PHP script and have any user, regardless of their phone number, anonymously use your service. With Zeep, you have to actually agree to use the service and register as a subscriber through the website.
There's no cost for registration. It's just one more step that they have to go through in order to use your service. And so that's one thing to consider in kind of an ease of use determination.
Also, TextMarks, there's less code you have to write in your PHP script. So if you are writing a script, let's say, that's going to browse the Harvard Library System, which is going to require a lot of code, you have to do some screen scraping, there's going to be less code that you're using to interact with the API, the TextMarks API, than with Zeep. Zeep is also not very intuitive. The TextMerge API is just easier to use. There's also a much more exciting, Zeep does have a flashier homepage in TextMerge, which you can take a look at if you want at home.
Not that that's
that important.
Which that would point it out.
And also, both of them are incompatible with T-Mobile. So if you need to interact with T-Mobile users, you're going to be out of luck because both TextMerge and Zeep are ad-supported services. And T-Mobile has agreed to not support any ad-supported SMS service.
One thing is that it doesn't work with T-Mobile if you go with the free versions of either of these services. Right. If you choose to go with the paid version, in which case there are no ads, for example, Shuttleboy uses the paid version of TextMerge, then you can interact with T-Mobile subscribers. And I know there was some talk earlier, and we might have written this on the online description that one of them works with T-Mobile and not the other. I think it's more of a recent development that they have started to block Zeep.
I believe this actually just happened in October of this year. This is a pretty recent thing. And the character limit, because of the ads, you have a 120 character limit on the messages that you send. So, and that's true for both Zeep and TextMerge, it's no different. But if you were to get the paid version, the functionality is essentially the same, but you will have a larger character limit, I think 160. So our recommendation here is definitely to use TextMerge in this case, just for its ease of use, actually just for its ease of use. So Puneet is going to go through a script that he wrote in TextMerge.
So what I'm going to talk to you guys about is how to actually implement the TextMerge API. And the way it works is you basically go to light.textmerge.com right here. You see right here. And what you do, if you go to textmerge.com, that's the subscription service where you have to actually pay.
And they make it very difficult to find the Lite version of the website. So if you Google Lite TextMerge, you'll find it, but you cannot find the link on the TextMerge paid website, unfortunately.
So to sign up, you just click this big sign up for free button. Makes it nice and simple. And you pick a unique keyword. So for me, I said CS50 test. It's not available because I've taken it, but I'm just going to, for demonstration, I was going to show you how to do it. And then you can basically click here. They have help coordinate people, alerts, chat, etc. This is sort of their non-technical version, but we're in CS50, so we're going to choose option 2. Respond to a keyword with text from a web page. And right here, you type in the URL you'd like to input. So you can basically type in, say for me it was, it'll just say like, www.http://example.com/index.php. And then, so this is kind of the standard, right? You're basically doing a GET request like we all did in PHP with forms. And we're just going to add a different different terms on the end of here. And so if we want to know their phone number, for example, we can just type in, say we want to call it phone equals. And then you type in these escape characters that TextMerge will replace with the appropriate actual character that we can use, the actual characters. So we say phone, and then you say backslash P. And that backslash P gets replaced with their 10-digit phone number. I can add on here, word equals backslash, what's the?
So you could do word, let's say backslash 1. And,
right.
You can actually, I think that you can use up 1 through 9.
0 through 9.
Any number 0 through 9. Yeah. And those correspond to the indexes of the string that you send to TextMerge. So when you send a text message, you'll say keyword, so in this case CS50 test, and then you would say, foo, that would be index 1, and then bar would be index 2. So every time there's a space, TextMerge sees that as being a separate key that you're going to give to your script.
So think of these as command line arguments, basically. The 0 is always the name of your unique keyword. That's always going to be 0. 1 is always going to be then the word or the string, the substring right after it, and then the space and then the substring right after that. And so there's a couple other ones. Do you want to, what was the, if you want to get all the strings, do you remember what the backslash?
I think backslash L. It's all on the website. If you go to the website and go to the developers tab, there's actually a nice
right here.
Resource that you can use to see this.
So if you click developers, basically you know, here you just create, click create down here will be the next step. But you know, if you want to basically find out all this information,
I go to receiving.
Receiving. Yeah, you can basically just look it up right here on the developers. And remember, we've really emphasized, you know, with problem set sevens and especially problem set eight, to really use the resources out there with APIs. And you know, there's really good documentation. Backslash p replaces it with their phone number. Backslash zero is actually the whole message. Backslash 1 through 9 is the individual words right afterward. You know, there's all kinds of other things.
You can use time. And also, if you don't want to use the phone number, if there's some reason for security that you might not want to use the number, you can have text marks create a special keyword for that individual user.
Yeah. And the reason why you might want to use a phone number, for example, is if you want to create a session with that user. So I'm going to show you an example. I haven't implemented it. I have not implemented it with their phone number. But I'll show you, you know, an example of why you might want to know which user is which. And, you know, for example, with Twitter, if you were to implement a copy of Twitter, which would be pretty ambitious for a final project, but you know, if you were to implement that, you would probably want to know what phone number they were calling from so that you could appropriately post their message to the correct account. And this is kind of one way of doing that. So basically what I did here is I created a text document that says doit.txt. And you know, it's pretty simple. All it says is, oh, hi, right? So what we're going to do is I'm going to go back to text marks. Zoom out here. And right here, I'm going to click text marks response. I went to manage. And right here, you can go to text marks response. And you click edit. And I'm just going to type in, let's see, https://hcs.harvard.edu/. What was the name of the file?
Do it.
Do it, okay. Do it.txt. Okay. So I didn't type in any backslash anything, so it's not going to pass any information to this file. It just, and what it does is it's going to read the first 120 characters on that page and then send them back to the user who sent me a message. And note here that basically it says text between. There's to the left, to the right, after. You know, there's a couple different options about selecting what 120 characters you do send to the user. But you know, it's usually, I think, easiest just to say the first 120. So let's just say save. Okay. Now I'm going to go out, and they have this little text here. So let's say 241411. Let me zoom in right here. Okay. So I'm going to say CS50 test, and I'm going to be, you know, I can put anything, no matter what I put in, right? I'm going to click send. You know, I could put nothing too, and it would just basically respond with, oh, hi. And as you were saying, with the question being, can you do the same thing of just getting a response back? This is exactly that in action. So, you know, no matter what I type in, if I just type in 50 with nothing else, just that, click send. And there you go. It always says, oh, hi.
How do you get rid of the powered by m.txt?
Right. So
the question was, how do you get rid of the ugly powered by m.txt marks and message and data rates may apply?
You pay.
So if you're using the free version, then you can't get rid of that. And you'll also often have a couple of ads that may pop up for other services at the bottom of your message. So unless you're paying, you're not going to be able to get rid of that, unfortunately.
So what I've implemented here now is a simple calculator. It's going to take two command line arguments. I'm just going to use command line arguments, but really it's, you know, it's a test, CS50 test, and then two different numbers right after it. And it's going to say, it's going to report back their phone number, and it's going to take argument one and argument two and add them together and then print it to the screen. So why, you know, this is just a simple example of how we're going to actually use that information. So, for example, right here we have get, right? Just, I know, this could be implemented a lot better, right? Because I'm not checking any of their inputs. You would need to do that, of course, if you were implementing this. But for sake of simplicity, I've just taken it down to two lines. And we use get, which is the sort of, the standard PHP command, when you get a form that has all the output put on the URL, all those outputs are, remember, get rather than post. And so you can do post, but you know, get, I think, is the typical way that it's done. And so what we do here is you say get phone, and then you just kind of get the next line. And then you say get arg1 and arg2. And you add them together, and you print it out. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to run this in a browser, and I'm going to show you how this actually looks.
Now, when you run your PHP script in a browser, it's actually going to output essentially the same thing that's going to output on the phone, without the ads, without the reply here to join, and without the m.textmarks.com advertisement. So when this script runs, it's actually going to print out a number, which you'll see in a minute.
So I'm doing no error checking, right? Like, this is bad, right? So first thing, it says for phone number 0. Because what I've done here is I put no command line arguments in, right? And it just says for phone number 0 and then that. Okay, so this isn't very useful. But if I actually click right here and say, okay, phone equals 555-123-4567, and their arg1 equals 4 or 3, and arg2 equals 5, right? For phone number 555-123-4567, and then it gives us an 8, which is the sum of 3 and 5. So look, this is basically what it's going to be sending to the phone, is the first 120 characters of this page. So let's actually do that then. Let's go back here, and is in Firefox. What are we doing? Here we go. Okay.
So keep in mind that if you're developing an SMS app, you don't actually need to send messages to your phone constantly. It might help for formatting at the end once you're sort of wrapping up your project, but you can debug really easily in the Textmarks website by using their simulator here, or just by running a PHP script in your browser.
Let's try to screw it up. Clearly, it's important to use some sort of error checking because, right? Wait. Oh, sorry. Okay, fail. So what happened here is I forgot to update the response, right? So I'm using a different file now. So I'm going to say edit. Okay. And I'm using the same thing, but instead of do it.txt, I'm using textmarks.php. And then you basically type out that command. So, phone equals /p and arg1 equals /1 and arg2 equals /2. Okay, so we're all set here. Let's just say save. Make sure that goes through. Mm-hmm. All right, there we go. So let's try this again. CS50 test. And what's going on here? Okay, so. That's just my phone number there. Oh. Yeah. And, it gives 0. So that's, okay, that's weird. We didn't give it a number, so it added nothing. So now we're going to try that again. Let's say CS50 test and 4 and 5, right? So we should expect the phone number and then 9. And right, there we go. This weirdness right here, what you're seeing here, that's, I think, the plus symbol in the URL encoding. So remember that when it's passing it to you, it's URL encoded. And I'll let you play with how you're going to figure that out. But URL encoding is one way of encoding the messages so that you don't have certain, there's certain characters you're not allowed to put in the URL. So instead, we use these things like %2b, for example, or %20, if you've ever seen, represents a space. And these just represent different characters. And they are built-in functions in PHP to convert those characters into HTML or plain text.
That also means if you're writing a script in PHP that might be using the user's input in some way, you want to be careful to correct for those sort of mistakes.
Right. This is very similar. You know, the implications are not the same in the sense of you're not gonna, if you don't clean your input, you're not gonna lose a database. You know, if you're just doing that, unless you're not drawing from a database here, but you will have these sort of funny text outputs. So I just put this in here so you could keep that in mind. So okay, so one last example here. This is a sort of more complex one. So I jerry-rigged my, so last year my final project was to, was called Harward. It's basically a sort of urban dictionary for the college, and or the university at large. And the idea is you can add in a word. So let's, you know, look up the word Mather, right? Naturally, it is the best house at Harvard, and it's been voted up 16, you know, the vote, like the positive minus negative votes is positive 16. Clearly, this place is awesome.
And this wasn't rigged at all?
At all. No. I'm serious. I was planning on rigging it, but I haven't gotten to that yet. And so what if we, like, are in Dunster and we realize, like, why aren't we in the best house in the college? You know, and, you know, you so you search, you want to know what this, like, this glorious Mather place is. So you're at your cell phone and you want to figure it out. So this morning I redid this define page, and I just, really, it took me, over lunch.
10 minutes.
10 minutes, right? I was rushing to meet someone for lunch, and I did it basically right there. And I converted the code from here into, I just kind of simplified the code. Because remember, I don't have to deal with the user interface. I don't have to deal with HTML tags. I don't have to deal with anything. In fact, the type of output we're doing is what's called plain text. And so I just coded that in. And if we do this, let's go here. I say, let me change the manage thing here. Just to make it simple, I've done this.
Now, obviously, like, adding this feature to his website only took 10 minutes, but the website itself took, you know, what?
That was my final project.
40, 50 hours. So for my final project, for example, I did a screen scraper of the Harvard Library website and developed an SMS application that allowed you to search through the Hollis catalog from your phone, which required, you know, several hours. It wasn't like a 10-minute thing where you just sort of went into text marks and had it return something.
Right.
And we'll show you that too. But you can see that it's very small steps you make in text marks produce really big results. Like the ability to send things to your phone or to anybody's phone is a really huge a huge innovation. Yeah. Text marks is doing a lot of the work for you. Right. So let's check out.
Let's click save.
Our words.
And so the great part of this too is that, you know, even though, like, you know, I can, you know, here I've just shown you one example of something where it's going to display information. But you can take that information and save it. As I said earlier, I'm going to show you how to, we can do sessions and all that. And so let's do, let me zoom out. Wait, where's the, where do you go to? There you go, simulator. Okay, so let's do a CS50 test, and then we're going to say, like, Mather, right? And let's say send. So what is it going to say? Oh, I remember. Sorry.
One thing to keep in mind, too, is you can also set up different keywords for one account. So you might, so Puneet's logged in under Puneet, I think. But you can create different keywords for one account. So you can have CS50 test. You could have Harwords as a keyword in the same account. So
no, not for the free account, there's no limit of one, I think. I try to do it.
I have two on mine.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, he's special. So CS50 test, and then let's say Mather, right? And say send. So it's going to send it. So I had just typed in the wrong URL earlier. Okay, so Mather, it's got a vote rating of plus 16, and the best house at Mather, period. Okay, so how did we do this? This sounds like really cool, right? Because clearly, what's going on here? You know, I'm taking an input, I'm putting it into a database, and I'm asking, you know, is that input located in this database? You know, I'm querying MySQL, I'm parsing the output, figuring it out, and then displaying it out, right? So, you know, there's a couple of steps here. So how does that work out? Well, let's take a look at TextWrangler. And I have api-define.php. So, you know, I have my common code. This just connects me to the database, gets me access to some key functions, whatnot. Header, content type text plain, just simplifies it so that we're not dealing with HTML. And then right here, I basically get in the word, and I do I have a function to do all the string cleaning to ensure that, you know, this is not malicious input. or to deal with malicious input. I do a little checking. Remember in C, you always just check if they actually gave you some input. Right here, I say, you know, if you don't give it anything, like, you know, if I go here and I type in, you know, CS50 test, and I say send, and, you know, they didn't give me anything, right? Like, you can't define nothing, fail. You actually have to enter something in, or I should have changed that to text message bar, whatever. But you get the point. And so right here, you have to actually enter something. Else, query the database for the given user input offered by...
Ordered
by difference in votes. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to get a single definition this time instead of however many there are for that word. And I'm going to get the best rated ones. So here's my SQL command. I run it. I check that the word actually exists. If there are, fail, no definition exists. Offer them the opportunity to go submit it. If this was my final project, you know, a cool idea would be to actually let them submit it via text message. In this case, it's not, I just made this over lunch, so I didn't actually make that functionality built into this.
But you can see you can use a very similar model to input something into a SQL table through text message. You would just be taking the keywords out, cleaning them, and then inputting them into a SQL string and running a query.
For example, I could say CS50 test, and then if you use the keyword search, it would search the next word. If you use the keyword define, it would use the next word to say what you're defining, and then the rest would be, you know, the actual definition. And so,
You can also use SQL to keep track of the users that you have coming. So say you want to look up a word and then keep a list of your search history, let's say, over SMS. Maybe you want to be able to type in history into SMS and get a history of all your searches. Using MySQL, you could use a unique user ID like we did in TSET 7 and do just that. You would take the phone number of the user or use text marks to create an ID. In your MySQL query, you would check for that.
Right. And this is what I was talking to you about sessions, was exactly what Jeff touched on, was the fact that if you want to have a session where, you know, say that you say end, you know, you could basically end each definition with the phrase that says something like, type N for next definition, right? And they would type in N and say enter, and it would come up with the next best definition if one existed. But you would have to know that they already requested some definition. And the way you would do that would be by having a session that would tell you what the last defined word was for that given user. And so that's one, you know, you keep track of the users who have used your application through MySQL. And, you know, that's just, you know, one way. You can use a phone number, you can use the unique ID. But that's how you can create a more interactive text message experience. And, you know, ShuttleBoy, whenever you text it, you're starting from square one, but sometimes you want to kind of build and link those different text messages into some narrative.
So with these tools, I mean, these are tools that you already know how to use. PHP and SQL are things that you have tons of experience in thanks to PSET 7 and through the course. And these are the same tools that companies like Safaricom are using to make M-Pesa, which are creating tons of unique opportunities for people in Africa. So these are really powerful tools, and you can do a lot with them. And we would encourage you to think about doing an SMS application for your final project, because they're just really cool and really easy to do.
Yeah.
Could you include the source code to the website or something so that we can...
I'll see.
We'll modify it a little bit.
Yeah, there's some of the stuff in here that I might not...
Yeah, we'll modify it.
Yeah.
We'll tweak it and put it up.
There's a lot of source code, though, example code on the Textmarks website. And, you know, I'd encourage you to check that out. Some of the stuff here is just, like, for security reasons, probably best not tell us.
Okay.
Yeah,
one
thing, why don't we show on the Textmarks website where you can find source code. So both the Textmarks and the Zeep website have a developer section that has actually examples of how to how to do these things. So if we go to, I guess...
Sending. I don't know. Basically, you can search here.
Try the API.
Yeah.
Oh,
this is the new API. They have a new API that's a little more complex. And that's actually the reason why we didn't show you guys Zeep Mobile, is because that has a more complex API that's, you know, you just check it out here. They have a really well documented. And if not, Google it. Okay.
Okay.
Cool.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Sorry.